Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Here comes the sun for real in New York. It's going to be a balmy 30, 35, maybe 40 degrees. My goodness. Break out the sunscreen. George Harrison, his birthday today. Had he not succumbed to fatal illness, George Harrison, the quiet Beatle, would have been 72 years old today. I knew him, interviewed him a couple of times. A great guy, very underrated. I mean, if he had been a standalone act, he would have been a superstar in his own right. So good morning, everybody. Still in San Francisco, heading home on the red eye tonight. Our lead stories, you got a couple of very controversial outcomes in two major legal cases. Well, not very controversial down in the American Sniper murder trial. It was as I predicted it would be. Eddie Ray Roth, the mentally disturbed veteran who shot and killed the Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, the person featured obviously in the American Sniper, and Chris's buddy Chad Littlefield. Eddie Ray Roth sentenced to life in prison after the jury rejected his insanity defense. Juries almost always reject insanity defenses. Of course, he was crazy. Nobody but a lunatic would do what he did. The issue, the legal issue, though, folks, was whether crazy or not, he thought, I mean, was he holding a banana? Did he think he was holding a banana making an ice cream sundae? Because if he thought he was committing murder, as he obviously did, then he was guilty. Being warped by jealous rage or whatever else motivated that guy is certainly no defense to double homicide. And like the American Sniper case, I have to tell you also that I totally predicted and knew if justice was going to be served, the Justice Department of this country, led by Eric Holder, was going to find that the neighborhood vigilante, George Zimmerman, who was a total jerk if his post-acquittal behavior is any indication, but when he shot and killed that unarmed teenager, Trayvon Martin, down in Sanford, Florida, 3 years ago, Zimmerman was acting in self-defense. So you have my condolences to Trayvon's parents. Obviously, they succeeded in making the teenager's tragic death the focus of a new civil rights movement, and that's great. But there was never a chance for conviction of Zimmerman in the state trial. I mean, remember what was happening there. Sanford, Florida. That complex that they all lived in, recently burglarized by the kids in the community, black kids from the black neighborhood that surrounds the complex. Trayvon was a stranger there. George Zimmerman didn't know him, didn't know he lived there. Trayvon was only staying there because he had been suspended from school down in Miami where he had been living with his mom. So he's staying with his dad in this new community. It's a dark night, recently victimized community. So who's Trayvon Martin? He's a tall stranger. He's wearing a hoodie. Like every 7-Eleven stick-up surveillance video, he's walking through the complex. I mean, I always tell my sons, and I always talk about it, I always told my sons when they were teenagers, you dress like a thug, and tragically, some people are going to treat you like a thug. So this kid, so sad, Trayvon Martin, innocent, carrying just a drink and some Skittles. But Zimmerman didn't know that. Zimmerman saw the stereotype, another hooded black man looking for trouble. So the jurors in the state murder trial, they put themselves in George Zimmerman's shoes, as I knew they would, those white ladies. And they said that Zimmerman did what they would have done in those circumstances, and even Attorney General Eric Holder could not disagree. And, you know, without belaboring the point, I know how my stance against hoodies and sagging pants and gangster rap and all that has generated enormous controversy. But this was not a close call. Controversial, though you may think it is, it was not a close call, legally speaking. Once Trayvon engaged Zimmerman and took Zimmerman to the ground, Zimmerman was acting in self-defense when he took out that gun and killed the kid. And I'm so sorry that it turned out that way. And Trayvon had all the indications of being, you know, a fine, fine person. But here to talk about not only the Trayvon Martin decision, but also that sting that involved his boss, Al Sharpton. I'm going to ask him, you know, how he feels first about the Trayvon Martin decision. Kirsten John Foy from the National Action Network. So what about Trayvon, Kirsten?
We are disappointed in the decision of the Justice Department not to pursue federal civil rights charges in this case. You know, the family has expressed their disappointment, but they also accept the decision that the Justice Department made. They believe ultimately that that justice still has to be pursued in other avenues, but we all, needless to say, are very disappointed in this decision.
But here you have the Justice Department under Eric Holder choosing not to pursue this case. You know, was there political pressure that distorted the judicial process right from the get-go? You know, when the local authorities decided not to charge him, wasn't it obvious that the indictment, the subsequent indictment of George Zimmerman, was politically motivated? And it raised expectations, I think, Kirsten, with all due respect, and I think Reverend Al played a role in that, raised expectations for an outcome that was legally unsupportable.
Right. Well, and I certainly understand your point, those that would that feel that way. You know, we have structural deficiencies in as it relates to federal civil rights enforcement. We have a very high threshold for what it takes to indict and then achieve a guilty verdict in a federal civil rights statute. But we also have what it appears to be a very high threshold for indicting people who have killed unarmed innocent black men and Latino men in this country, whether they are in uniform or out of uniform. So historically for us, the federal government has always been a go-to where we have failed to achieve justice on the local level. And we have no other choice but to, in today's environment, to do the same. We do not believe that local prosecutors can have a objective view on how to prosecute individuals who either believe that they are defending themselves from a black male or believe that the black male presents a threat, whether they do or they don't. And so whether it's George Zimmerman in Florida or whether it's, you know, another a police officer somewhere else, the notion that black men present a threat that has to be dealt with violently is one that the justice system has to deal with and eliminate.
Let's get to this tape in Staten Island. And you know how high regard I have for your boss, Reverend Al Sharpton, but it does seem from this tape by this group, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, that the National Action Network was more concerned with image and raising any money for itself as it was dealing with the Garner family tragedy.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to address that. Thank you for dealing with this. There are several points I'd like to make. First and foremost, National Action Network has never and nor will it ever accept donations or reimbursement from victims that we've laid out money for to help. Erica Garner came out after the tape and after she was confronted with this kind of underhanded kind of gotcha tape that she was taken out of context. Every individual that was recorded when they were confronted with the truth, say, well, wait a second, the way this was spliced and diced was not how the conversation flowed, and that what they're portraying is my feelings are not what I intended. And so you have a rebuke of this kind of gotcha stuff by the very people who were caught. But to speak to the issue of National Action Network and financing, we have always gone out, extended ourselves financially, in terms of human resources, every way we can for people who have been victimized, and we've never taken reimbursement, and we've never asked for a donation. In fact, Reverend Sharpton is under contract with MSNBC, which would be a violation of his contract to personally accept money from victims. So the story on the surface of it is false, and if you dig down into it, you can see the distortions. As an organization, we don't accept reimbursements or donations from people that we have worked with who have been victimized. So the story is just flat out wrong. And to try to entrap someone whose father had been killed, but she had to watch that video over and over again and can be confronted where she's continually traumatized. For somebody to come to her and say, do you have a problem? Is this about money? What do you think about this individual? Is really duplicitous. And I would just add one final point that this attempt at trying to we gotcha never comes with any material evidence. It's always asking somebody, well, what do you feel or what do you think or how do you interpret this and what is your prophetic interpretation of this person? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's garbage. Nobody ever comes forward with an allegation that can be backed up with evidence. It's always this I gotcha and slicing and dicing. And to take a victim who's been victimized and use them for some political game to make some political, to score some political points on an adversary, it's just inhumane.
All right, Kristen, I think with your usual eloquence, you've defended the boss and the National Action Network, and I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Thank you for the opportunity to do it.
All right, but when we come back, James O'Keefe, the guy who busted, who stung Al Sharpton's group, will justify what he did and tell us more about what he found in his nationwide probe of Al Sharpton and the National Action Network. And we'll get your calls. We'll take your calls at 866-HERALDO about the Reverend Al after this.
77 WABC. Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
With me now, the man whose organizations busted the Al Sharpton supporter. He runs Project Veritas. They're the people who took down ACORN, the community action group shown to be giving advice that was unsavory at best. Well, in this case, as you know, a secret recording of a National Action Network employee talking with Erica Garner, or Eric Garner, the Staten Island chokehold victim's daughter. And she seemed to indicate the daughter did that Sharpton and his group were in it just for the money, just for the attention. The man whose group did it, James O'Keefe, joins me right now. So, James, again, I think a gotcha moment. You did a fine job. I appreciate enterprise journalism. But what do you think you found here?
Well, we think we're trying to answer the question as to who the real Al Sharpton is. We found family members, lawyers for victims in the tragedies across the country speaking candidly about how Al Sharpton exploited them. And we used hidden cameras. I know, Geraldo, you used to use some hidden cameras back in the day.
I did indeed.
We think that this method, you know, these people are afraid to tell the truth about Al. In fact, one of the sources we talked to told us he was afraid, and we did not release that. And people are more likely to be honest when they're speaking into a hidden camera about how this guy cares about profit, how he's prideful, how he's not actually in it to help the tragedies.
Now, isn't that a leap? I mean, it's one thing to say that he needs to fund his organization or so forth, but to say he doesn't care. I mean, James O'Keefe, can you really say that Al Sharpton doesn't care about these victims?
Well, maybe that is a little strong. I think he's all about himself, is the impression that the people gave us. He's about the money. One guy in Florida, the Trayvon Martin Foundation businessman and donor, told us that He spends less than 10% of his revenues on actually on this in the streets work, as they called it. Another individual said that, you know, he's inciting violence in Ferguson. One of the respected bishops in the community who's been in meetings with Reverend Sharpton. We had the daughter of Erica Garner, told us, you could almost see the fear and anguish in her face as she's talking, that this is not about my father. Al Sharpton is not making this about Eric Garner. He's making it about the money. And she puts a finger gesture towards the camera. And I think it's just very powerful. It's like a Greek chorus of voices all in unison saying the same thing. And what's remarkable is nobody is willing to say this stuff on the record. And that's why we have used the hidden cameras.
They have responded very sharply. As you know, my guest, James O'Keefe, the man who runs Project Veritas, very enterprising conservative activist group that uses hidden cameras to great effect to show people as they are. They complain, though, James, that you edit them out of context and that to pick on the victim, the daughter of a death, chokehold death victim, was kind of unsavory. What do you say?
The people are always going to say we edit things, but the video speaks very clearly for itself. The New York Post wrote the story yesterday on the front page, and today they have an op-ed, a new op-ed where they say as much. The video speaks for itself. People can say what they want. National Action Network has issued a press release that, oh, we edited things out of context. The video is very clear. And in fact, Erica Garner, she doubled down on what she said off the record. She said, yeah, I did have some problems with Cynthia Davis, which is Al Sharpton's top lieutenant at National Action Network. So now she's come out and said in the New York Post exactly what she said on the hidden camera. But people are always going to say that I deceptively edit because there's nothing else for them to say. But if you look at that videotape, if you look at those few minutes of conversation, Erica is very clear about how she feels. And most of my hidden camera stings, I target the people I film. In this case, I'm not targeting them. These are their words. They're talking about Al Sharpton. I think it's a very powerful expose. And oftentimes, hidden camera, you show the truth because otherwise you can't, it's not witness to the public. So that's why these tactics were necessary.
You were saying that you've revealed in a powerful expose that Al Sharpton and National Action Network, why don't you just pick it up there?
Sure.
Okay, so all right. So what have you found?
So I think that cameras allow us to see something that people would not otherwise say, that people have expressed fear of retaliation. National Action Network issued a press release last night. In fact, in an extraordinary series of events, a foundation has been started between Erica and Al Sharpton. Clearly, he's very defensive. He's trying to do damage control about this. But the bottom line is tape speaks for itself. It's exactly what the Post said. And that's what I believe, too. It's very powerful. You can see the pain.
All right. Sum up what you think of Al Sharpton. Give me two sentences. James Keefe of Project Veritas. Who is Al Sharpton, James?
I'm not going to, as a investigative reporter, I'm not going to tell you what I personally think of Al Sharpton. I'm only going to show you what the families of the victims in Ferguson, Staten Island, and in Florida think of Al Sharpton. Watch the videotape. Look at what they say. And they say that Al Sharpton exploited them for his own gain. And the video speaks for itself.
James O'Keefe, I appreciate it. Congratulations again.
Thank you, sir.
So the hidden camera has revealed in James O'Keefe's assessment. I'd love to hear what you have to say, ladies and gentlemen, at 866-HERALDO. A view of Al Sharpton that is different than his supporters hold, a view of Al Sharpton as a money-grubbing, self-involved, selfish person. Do you believe that? Do you believe that O'Keefe has proven that? 866-HERALDO. We'll be back after this.
Live, local, on it. 866-HERALDO, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Look at the world, and I notice it's turning. While my guitar gently weeps. Surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
A great song from a great rocker, George Harrison. Today would have been his 72nd birthday. Great songs. I mean, he and Lennon, both we lost with their premature demises. So what do you think? Al Sharpton, is he a crook? Let's play a clip from James O'Keefe's hidden camera video. This involves Erica Garner, Eric Garner's daughter, and one of the operatives of Al Sharpton's National Action Network. So before I get to their calls at 866-RALDO, here it is. Here's the tape.
So you think Al Sharpton is kind of like a crook in a sense? Like you think he's like, he's about his money with you?
All right, so is Al Sharpton a crook? Al Sharpton responds in CBS News. He tells them, my response is that not only do I think the video was taken out of context, there is nobody in that video that said I did anything with money. What money? There is no money in the Garner case at all. He adds, what say you? Okay, 866-RALDO, we'll start with Marianne on Staten Island. Hi, Marianne. Thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah, I think it's despicable that that man who goes does nothing except incites violence is given such a high honor. People who truly know what's going on in the world know that he shouldn't be given any kudos for anything he does. And, Araldo, you stick up for him just as much as anybody else. He shouldn't be with de Blasio. He shouldn't be with Obama. From Staten Island, I am sick of this man telling me we are all racist.
Because all right, Marianne.
Yeah.
I got you. I hear your very sincerely expressed sentiments. I appreciate them. And here is Luke in Brooklyn. What do you say, Luke?
Oh, hi, Araldo. I always felt that the worst thing that could happen to Sharpton and his group is that racism would come to an end. And this is a criticism not just of him, but actually this is an inherent weakness in capitalism. Once a problem becomes something that people get paid to solve, it's no longer in their interest to see it completely solved. And I'll give you an analogy. Drug treatment. All right? There is no reason. If drug abuse disappeared, think of all the people who work in drug treatment who would be out of work. Now, I'm not saying that they purposely undermine people's treatment. They don't. They work very hard to help those people. But they're secure in the knowledge that under our current policies for drug treatment, the problem's never going to go away.
All right, I get you, Luke. Kind of a strained analogy, but I certainly understand the rough parallel. Here's Mike in Yonkers. What do you say, Mike?
Geraldo, I listen to you regularly, and I just want to say this. Did we really need video to know what this guy is all about? And that woman from Staten Island, spot on. You stick up for him regularly. If, you know, he does an injustice to and a disservice to African Americans and to all of us.
So what do you say, Mike, when I point out the surveys? Hold it a second. What do you say when I point out the surveys that indicate time and time again that the black people trust Al Sharp? I mean, that's not Geraldo. That's the survey saying
his constituency
support him.
Geraldo, you're lending credibility to the false narrative that this man is somehow.
I'm talking about arithmetic, dude. I'm talking about what the surveys say. I'm not making it up. What, do you want me to lie about it? I'm telling you what the surveys say.
Geraldo, this is not about you. This is about the narrative of Al Sharpton. And what I want to say is that he's been perpetuating a false narrative since the days of Tawana Brawley. And when, enough is enough. We do have racial problems in this country, but not to the degree that, anytime someone spits on a sidewalk, it's racism.
I agree with that, and I hate that racism is still an issue. It is still an issue. Oh, Mike, an excellent call. Is still an issue, and when people are concerned enough that they take to the streets, I'm not talking about professional agitators. I'm talking about legitimate people with jobs, going to college, who come to voice their expression of outrage that a kid like Trayvon Martin gets shot dead. You know, that's you may see it differently. And I got in trouble because I criticized the hoodie and the saggy pants and so forth. But you can't deny that this is a big issue in communities of color. I wish it wasn't.
Believe me, I wish it wasn't. There's so many more important issues to deal with in those communities than police violence. I mean, the inherent violence in the community, the fact that so many of the communities are committing suicide, and this move towards self-segregation with the, you know, hip-hop, gangster rap fashion and all the rest of it. But you can't deny that people sincerely believe that this is a big deal. Now, whether or not this this new video, the James O'Keefe video, changes your impression of the honesty, the relative honesty of Al Sharpton and his group, the National Action Network, I think that, you know, that's in the eye of the beholder. You're going to have to tell me how you feel. How do you feel, Laura, in Harlem?
Yes, hi. First of all, I'm not coming on to scream and holler in defense of Al Sharpton. But, Geraldo, let me say this to you. I've told you many times that I am an activist here in Harlem. I've sent, I don't know how many young people, as well as other people, to Al Sharpton. I'm not there often, but I referred the people there. The people that I refer to, they don't give any money. They are not extorting any money. Most of the times, their problems are solved. A lot of these people are on their right way to life, not becoming a menace to society, but, you know, someone that's a taxpayer and becoming productive. My suggestion to some of them, I say become a member, at least give money back. This is capitalism America. And yes, money is needed to do everything. So my suggestion is at least become a member. It's $25 for a membership for a year. So, you know, these white people that
So you're a member of the National Action Network, Laura?
Excuse me?
Are you a member of Al Sharpton's group?
Yes, I'm a member. I'm not there often because I'm a liaison doing other things, but I refer people there. I refer a lot
of
people.
Well, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your call. And I personally, with my own ears, ladies and gentlemen, have heard Al Sharpton preach on a Sunday to young men in Harlem and elsewhere and tell them to pick their pants up. I'll tell you that much. I just want a balanced picture. But Gary and Glendale, what do you think?
Okay, the way I look at it, you were saying all surveys, okay, say black society or black people.
I'm quoting specifically the last one, the CNN, sir.
Okay.
But, I mean, they all are consistent.
Is that Sharpton, okay, has this habit of sticking his finger in the eye of establishment society. And black people love that. Look at Rangel. You got Rangel. He was found, to be violating how many congressional laws, how many New York City laws. And yet his constituency elect him by an 85% majority. Because why? He's constantly sticking his finger in the eye, and that's what's happening. They're looking.
I agree with you. I think that I tell you what, Gary, I'm out of time, but I agree with your another excellent call and a very vivid and astute analysis. You know, a lot of times, people who feel that they're on the outside, they just like whoever their advocate is because he's sticking it to the man. You know, Al Sharpton is sticking it in the eye of whomsoever it may be that irks some of the his inner-city constituency, and that's what people appreciate. However, it offends people in the mainstream, and I'm sure that it offends in a big time, a big way, people in the mainstream. I haven't spoken to any of my Fox News colleagues yet about the reaction to the James O'Keefe video, but I'm sure they're having a field day with it. All right, it is 48 minutes after 10 o'clock. Boom, Layden and I shall return after this.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
5 minutes before 11 o'clock, what do you think of Al Sharpton and this new video? What do you think of the federal decision not to bring civil rights charges against George Zimmerman, the man who infamously shot and killed the unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin 3 years ago? Dan in New Jersey, you're on the line. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo, buddy.
Yes, good morning, Geraldo. I think it's thanks to Al Sharpton that George Zimmerman is walking the streets today. He was one of the people that pushed for murder charges and the highest level of charges you could push against the guy. And as you pointed out at the time, they were never going to convict him of murder. Acquire Sharpton and let justice take its due.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.